What if God comes in ways in your life that didn't look like you thought it would? Most of the time, that's how he comes. Because we think we're so smart. And we always know what's best. And sometimes God comes in and just wrecks us. And his wrecking in my life was tragic. But without his wrecking, I would have never found him. Because he warned me over and over and over and over again about stupid. Anybody been warned over and over and over again about stupid? Then all of a sudden, stupid catches up to you and goes, "Jah! Why are you picking on me?" Well, because you laid out a lot of stupid. Yeah. Relax, you're going to be okay. Say someday. Bloody someday. Let me set some expectations. Today, it will be a challenge for you. It was a challenge for me. He challenged me. I wasn't going to speak on this at all. I actually had a plan. I had a great plan. Pastor Larry and Pastor Justin get ready to speak, and I got two Sundays, so I thought, I'll just kind of cruise on something smooth, you know? Some psalms of encouragement, though the deer pants by the waters, so my soul longs after you. A soft opening for some worship. And I had a, like, I'll just do that, you know? I'll take these two Sundays, and just because three and one was kind of intense, so I thought I'd just, you know, And then I go, Andrew would love this. You probably never did this. Lord, where should I preach? And I'll go, let me find something with a short chapter. And I grab Zephaniah, forgetting for a second what Zephaniah is about. And I go, only three chapters. And I start to read. They go, nope. Shut up. I go, not there. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me this. Why? Aren't you a full believing word church? Old Testament, dude, don't you? Yeah, I do, Lord. But I had a, is it too hard for you to speak on? Are you not the kind of shepherd that I can tell you to do hard things sometimes? I sat in my room and cried. But he said it like a dad should when you need to be straightened out. Ever need to be straightened out? Probably none of you all did. I need a lot of straightening. I did. It was a challenge for me today. Unfortunately, it's not going to be a little light encouragement that I was pondering. It's going to be a mini-series that will ruffle your souls. I do have slides to help. Slides to help smooth or provoke. Never know with me, right? It's a mini-series called Someday, Bloody Someday. And it's going to be short because I don't think we can handle a lot of it. You know, I think Billy Joel was right. We can't handle pressure. Cannot handle pressure. I don't know. We think we can, but we can't. But we got to have pressure in our lives to increase value and to strengthen and expand us. Or we'll never grow. This won't happen. Here's a side note. You ready? This side of the room. Look over this side of the room. You say this to him. Say, listen, this could be for you. And you guys point at him like in Italian. Say, how about you? Yeah, how about you? How about you, man? Yeah. Please, here's another caveat. Please do not let fear grab you. If you're prone to fear, hear me. If you're prone to fear, I'm telling you, don't let it grab you. And if you're prone to condemn yourself, beat yourself up when something hard is spoken, don't do that today. I'm not saying don't be impacted, but don't let condemnation rule you and don't let fear rule you, right? Be impacted. So if that's a moment you need, say, okay, he's talking to me. If that's you, take a second, go, Lord, I don't want to be in fear. I'm here this morning. I'm not going to be condemned, but I want to hear you. Right, just take that moment. Why? Because there's going to be opportunity for both. Because so often, we misuse time. Time is the most valuable commodity on the face of the earth. It has limited resources, and none of us know when our time is done. So when you give time to anybody or anything, it's the most valuable thing you have. And we misuse it. Say, eek. Yeah. Maybe it's good we let God's strong word reprioritize everything. Reprioritize what he's supposed to be doing in me and why. So it's an impromptu series that's not going to be long. Say, hallelujah. Your most important takeaway is going to be this. Do not put stuff on hold that's meant to be priority. Do not put stuff on hold that is meant to be priority. do not any longer wait for someday, because it'll work out just fine. If I keep putting this off, I'll keep shoving sugar down my mouth and eating whatever I want and laying around in an inner tube. Don't. Someday I'll be in shape. No, you won't. Someday you'll be dead early. Like, there's a lot of somedays. That might not be your someday, but we all have a someday. And we keep putting it off for, and, you know, anybody lose anybody in the past 2 years to death? How many thought you had one more someday? Keep your hand up. If you thought you had one more someday. Yeah, if you thought you had one more day with them. Yeah. That should wake us up to the misuse of our time. Right? Don't put stuff off. Because someday eventually shows up. Most of us should stop putting off any someday, say Zephaniah. So here's the first truth. The death of some stuff has to happen before the revival comes. You can't bring something back to life if it doesn't die. And there's certain things in our lives that he's trying to kill so we can actually have a revival in our life we're praying for. It's the thing that's holding us back from actually being alive and revived. Right? You got to have a death before there's a revival. I'm going to quote occasionally to let the pressure off. The second thing is a little peek at how back in the day, someday, and today. Back in the day. Ever say back in the day? Back in the day, man. Back in the day was in the past, things we've lived life in the life, and someday in the future, they have an awful lot in common with today. We just look at them differently. Since it feels hard, I'm going to turn up the heart a little bit. I got a geopolitical statement we're going to start with out of the book of Psalms. Psalms 2, 1 through 4. Why are the nations in an uproar and turmoil against God? And why do the people devise a vain and hopeless plot? The kings of the earth, they take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, the Messiah, the Christ. They say this, let us break apart their divine bands of restraint. Let us break apart the divine bands of restraint. God is, and God is his ways. You know, even like the first four commandments, the big Ten Commandments in our, you know, the first four are all completely directed towards our relationship with God. The first four. And they're the most commonly violated ones. Let us break apart their divine bands of restraint. No one tell me what to do. I'm American. I'm from America. I almost wore my boots today, but I felt like I'm so clunky that I might fall off the stage. You have to pray for me, you know. But America. He who sits enthroned in the heavens laughs. Now, if you ever had a problem with a small bit of arrogance in your life, you don't have to raise your hand. But occasionally, I may have been known back when I was a ball player, I would make sound effects when I went by somebody. Whoop! So, I was over there. Or splash before the ball went in, you know? What? Talk a little trash. Why? Because someone on the court with who's this short little Italian kid coming out here to ball. I will show you who he is. Whoop! There he, I wonder if it's over there. What's the score? 16 to nothing. You better work a little harder. I feel that from God here in this moment. He laughs. It's a little smack talk. Okay. Yeah, you're going to break the bands. You're going to be in charge. You're the alpha. You're the alpha. And you're the alpha of your life. Oh, I see you. Okay. That's what this is, you know. He laughs at their rebellion. The sovereign Lord scoffs at them. Talking trash. In supreme contempt, he mocks them. Say this, don't tug on Superman's cape. Don't tug on Superman's cape. Yeah, you don't know. You don't know what's coming. Don't do that. God mocking you is something you want to avoid. You don't want to, you don't like, you know, he spent time with God today. Yeah, all he did was mock me. Oh, dude, Here's a quote. I got a quote. Let's lighten the mood. Is there a quote there you got for me, Bob? Every problem has in it the seeds of its own solution. Every problem that you're going to be presented with today has in it the seeds of its own solution. Zephaniah is one of his books that really demands we make an honest reflection of the life each one of us has been given. It's life reflection. Sincere, deep, right in your soul, wherever you're at. It's a life reflection day. because we don't have too much time on our hands, right? We don't know how much it is. I pray honestly you reflect, get healed up, and be ready. Please stay with me maybe for the whole next 2 weeks. For one reason why, sometimes church folk need what's shaken up. Sometimes church folk need shaken up. Actually, before God shakes the earth, he always shakes his church up first. Always deals with, before this message came to you, it came to me on a cheese grater. Lord, that blah, yes, Lord. And for number two, if you don't know Jesus, Jesus wants non-church people to know he loves them and to share truth, and that he prepaid their penalties, and he'll ask you to follow him. And then that's the challenge. Because if you really follow him, certain things in our lives have to be changed. Right? Anybody come to Jesus not have stuff to start changing in your life because you knew he needed that? 100%, right? 100%. So someday, bloody someday. Zephaniah 1:1. Someday, bloody someday. The Lord gave this message to Zephaniah. Very important, no matter what, be faithful to the message God gives you. If he tells you something, no matter how hard it is, you have to do it. Right? Be faithful. It says, when Josiah, the son of Amnon, was king of Judah. Now, names are going to be whipped off here for a second. Names are important, right? Names are given as blessings or cursings. You know what I mean? Names are given to mark events. Like this, why'd you name him that? Well, because that's the day. Or why'd you call him Noah? Because it took him off. Right? There's blessings and cursings. There's a history that shows. There's a history pattern of relationship. You know, and there's this kind of attitude too. Ever know the Dierks Bentley song, My Last Name? Yeah, that's my people. Right. Zephaniah was the son of Cushi, the son of Gildiah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah. Say this with me. That's easy, bro. This is not tense. That was easy, right? Zephaniah's cake. Just listen off some names, you know. It's not stressful yet, Pastor. What's the matter with you? I hear you saying it. Here's some facts. Someday comes, and it can be bloody or not so messy. But it does come. Someday can take 10,000 years, or it can be here Thursday. But some days do arrive. Say, get ready. Here's our deep dive. Zephaniah 1, verse 2. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, says the Lord. This is after Noah. This isn't pre-Noah. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, says the Lord. Maybe I should close here, huh? Crickets. Jody, throw up. Like, Pastor, don't leave me here. Don't do it, right? Well, God will explain himself of actually what he means, the what sent on his mind during this chapter. God's going to share what he wants, the opinions of us as we approach our someday. Let's put a quote up here. I have a quote. This is C.S. Lewis, I think, right? You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. That's where we're at. We can impact our someday, bloody someday. You can't go back and change your history. And some of it, we need, some of those scars are important, right? But you can start right where you are and change your future. It's like today. This is a message that's preempted everything I was going to do because it's for today, right? Zephaniah 1, 3 through 6. I will sweep away people and animals alike, and I will sweep away the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea, and I will reduce the wicked to heaps of rubble. And I will wipe humanity from the face of the earth, says the Lord. Man, this prophet is lots and lots of centuries after Noah. I will crush Judah and Jerusalem with my fist. Not Jew and Jeru. With your fist. Those are your people. You were just talking about the nations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get them. Ever do that? Get them, God. You watch something news or something terrible, you know? Some little stupid rap star thinks he's going to serve a demon god and he's talking trash. You know, and you're going, get him, God. He doesn't start getting him. He starts getting us. Mm. I will crush Judah and Jerusalem with my fist. That sounds rough. And destroy every last trace of their Baal worship. So lots of times we read stuff like that and we go, that's not me. I don't even know that dude. Baal worship. I would never bow down to a stupid little statue of a half bull. It's crazy, right? Here's the God reveal. Often when God feels he gave adequate time and sufficient warning, he's going to respond like he said he would. Baal. You ready for Baal? Baal has a lot of things that he was over. Fertility. It's trusting something else to establish your posterity. And it was celebrate sexual shamelessness. So when we trust other things, are going to, this. I'm going to build this monument to me forever. What is that? I'm going to build a legacy. I'm, but for everyone. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it. Oh, no, your I'm's your problem. You're trusting in you for your future posterity. And then there's the obvious celebrate sexual shamelessness. Baal is also over rain, which is what? Life provision. They needed rain. They're farming culture. Sometimes we give other stuff credit for our provision. Man, I'm sweet. I'm a baller. I make baller money because I'm a baller. That's what Baal says about rain, you know. And then he was also over the demonic powers. Where else that gets bowed down to our life? What gets the credit? Anything gets credit of God's a false God. Anything that gets the credit over God in our lives with a focus is a false God. He's busting up Jew and Jeru with his fist to say, I've noticed that Baal worship has creeped into your life. I will put an end to all the idolatrous priests. He cleanses leaders first. He deals with them. So that even the memory of them will disappear. Ouch. I was building all this to create a memory. He said, I know, that's why I got to crush it. For they go up to their roofs and they bow down to the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's not us. We never give time that we should have given to God to other things. We never give other things the time that we should give God. We don't give our phone more time. We don't give sports or another person doesn't get all our focus and attention. Our passions are definitely number one in his eyes, right? My accomplishments aren't over God. My career's not over God. My focus on self-healing is never over God. See, doesn't that sting? It's supposed to. It's supposed to wake us up to stuff, right? What is it that gets your credit and your appreciation in your life? What is it? They claim to follow the Lord. Oh, check this out. They claim to follow the Lord. They claim to follow the Lord, but then they worship Molech too. Right? You're like, all right, tell us what Molech's all about. We don't want to hear it, but go ahead. I got you. God shares no credit or tolerates rivals. He shares no credit and he tolerates no rivals. He's Alpha. Molech. Know what Molech's big gig was? The sacrifice of children. Say, we don't do that. Our culture doesn't sacrifice kids' souls. So kids' souls get handed out and submerged into bad education all the time. Forced into unhealthy cultural acceptances all the time. Has anyone ever chosen a current cultural opinion for your children over God's culture? All of it is a horrific sacrifice. He doesn't want his kids mistreated. Molech will creep in with culture on a regular basis. And I will destroy those who used to worship me, but no longer do. Man, he's not even talking about, he's talking about me. He's talking about his church. He's talking about Jerusalem. What? And I will destroy those who used to worship me, but no longer do. They no longer ask the Lord's guidance. I was making a plan. Didn't ask him about it. I was just kind of telling him so he could bless it and get on with it with me, you know. No longer ask for the Lord's guidance or seek my blessings. Say someday. We thank you, God, that it's not today. Anybody have grateful it's not today? Yeah. Someday, here's a fact. Some right now, as we sit here, someone's future, their someday is being ruined by not making God first. And he's serious about that. Why it matters to him. Here's a quote. Treat it. Ready? I think I got it. Live every day like it's going to be your last, because one day you're sure to be right. One day, someday, right? Sure to be right. I was going to put the quote up there. There's always room on the nice list, but I don't want to do that. Zephaniah 1:7. Stand in silence in the presence of the sovereign Lord. You know, when God shows up in our life, listening is the only thing we should do. I find myself talking to him way more than I listen to him. And I try to listen. Like, I try to be intentional. I'll set. Like, I could be quiet with my mouth, but my mind's going, you know, what's the GCU game? Ooh, what's going on in there? Boy, I like cheesecake. Oh, you're lactose intolerant. That sucks. You're supposed to be praying, bro. Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Anyone? Thank you. Stand in silence in the presence of the sovereign Lord, for the awesome day of the Lord's judgment is near. Say awesome. And does it sound real awesome? It don't sound awesome. Lord, the Lord has prepared his people for a great, the Lord has prepared his people for a great slaughter and has chosen their executioner. Say, oh no. Oh no. But you see it in history over there, Judah and Jerusalem and the Israelites, they get all puffed up and they got the word of the nation. We got all this. And it's like, you better sell. I'll send you in a prophet to tell you better sell down. You forgot about me. You forgot about me. I sent 15 prophets over 1,500 years. Guess what? Someday arrived what? It's called the Assyrians. They had to deal with that kind of stuff all the time because they forgot. On that day of judgment, says the Lord, I will punish the leaders and the princes of Judah and all those following pagan customs. See, he's talking to them. Relax. If you're picking up stress, remember I told you don't pick up stress. I already told you not to pick up stress. What are you doing, Cole? Chill out. You're all right. Obviously, there's an opt-out clause because he didn't do this. He didn't wipe out all his peeps. He always gives us an opt-out clause, but take it before someday gets here. Jesus is my opt-out clause. I deserved everything and worse. And no, I didn't deserve to be, even get the revelation of who he was. I didn't deserve none of that. He gave me an opt-out clause. Thank you, Jesus, for being my opt-out clause. Right. He says, yes, I will punish those who participate in pagan worship ceremonies and those who fill their master's house with violence and deceit. Say, the master doesn't want his crib filled with that, right? On that day, says the Lord, a cry of alarm will come from the fish gate. That sounds boring. You know what the fish gate was? It was the main gate of commerce and the biggest gate of the provision. Those are the type of gates that violate God's being priority on a regular basis in our life. The hustle for provision will always want to steal the focus. But if we're faithful to do what he says with the stuff he gives us, you don't have to fear that. I've made a lot of money and hardly any money, and I've never been out a single thing in my life since I come to the Lord. There's been some seasons, but I've never. Right? Because that's one area I distrust him with. You know? I appreciate that. But it'll still come. The fish gate's there, wanting your attention. And echo throughout the new quarter of the city. Every financial and social section is going to feel the boom if he lowers the boom. Everybody. And a great crash will sound from the hills, the city and the country. Wail in sorrow, all who live in the market area. If you pitch our provision on the market area of life, on what you can do and how impressive you are in your career, in your whatever, if we keep that focus, you live in that focus, he's going to do something in your life because you said you love him to wake you up, because someday will be bloody someday if you don't wake up now. priority now, right? Wail and sorrow those who live in the market area, for all the merchants and the traders will be destroyed. Say, Zephaniah is tough. Say, Zephaniah is helpful. Helpful so that so many some days don't become bloody, right? I think I got a quote. The trouble is, you think you have more time. Always, right? I'll do what and how God wants me to do it someday. I'll serve him when this happens, or I'll give him my life when this happens, or I'll do this when this happens. And then someday grabs you by the butt and you go, darn, I wish I would have listened to that warning. Man, I wish I would have paid attention in Spanish class. You don't even know. Me habla poquito español. Could have been más grande. It's not. Why? Because I skipped Spanish class on a regular basis. I was caught playing cards in the cafeteria. I had nuns. This earlobe's longer because they would drag me to class. Why? Because I was skipping Spanish. I wouldn't need it. I live in New York. I'd love to be able to just chill with Jesse and talk a little Spanish on the door and have you go, what's he talking about? Pastor's so fluent. Pastor's not. Pastor's not. Say, someday, bloody someday, right? Yeah. Zephaniah 1:12. I will search with lanterns in Jerusalem, the darkest corners, to punish those who sit complacent in their sins. I tried to warn them, and they're just going to sit. They think the Lord will do nothing to them, nothing either good or bad. Say, don't tug on Superman's cape. Don't tug on Superman's cape. A good father's going, hey, 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 I warned you. Hey, 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 don't do that. Hey, 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 be nice to your sister. Hey, hey, hey. The little brother's going to be bigger someday. Hey, 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 be nice to him. Why? Because he'll remember that. Hey, 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 I told you be patient behind that old lady that's driving in the fast lane and slower than the slow lane should be. Why? Because someday you're going to be 97. Zephaniah 1, 13 through 14. So their property will be plundered, their homes will be ransacked, they will build new homes but never live in them, they will plant vineyards but never drink from them. That terrible day of the Lord is near, swiftly it comes. A day of bitter tears, a day when even strong men will cry out. Someday, bloody someday. I want to avoid that. Let him reprioritize us again, right? Zephaniah 1, 15 and 16. It will be a day when the Lord's anger is poured out, a day of terrible distress and anguish, a day of ruin and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet calls and battle cries. Go down to the walled cities, go the walled cities and the strongest battlements. Nothing can prepare us to combat someday and our own strength to protect from someday. The only thing that protects from someday is today. Getting on page with him today. Prioritize him once again today. Be all about him today. Zephaniah 1:17 and 18. Because you have sinned against the Lord, I will make you grope around like the blind. Your blood will be poured into the dust, and your boots will lie rotting in the ground. Your bodies will lie rotting in the ground. Your silver and gold will not save you on that day of the Lord's anger. For the whole land will be destroyed by fire in his jealousy. He will make a terrifying end of all the people on the earth. Put a quote up quick. Life is too short to carry a boring handbag. Means nothing, but I guess it's true. I don't know. I just felt like you needed some, you know, pressure relief. Just, whew, yeah, gotcha, Pastor. Yeah, thank you. Is there hope to see a better end? Can it turn out different for us? I mean, them? Can it turn out different? Okay, let's dip into chapter 2. I won't leave you there. Let's just dip in. I won't leave you there. That's chapter 1. And go, well, let's close. How terrible, right?
Pastor, don't leave us there. I don't want to be left there either. I was alone this week with this, so you have to stay in just a minute, child. Just stay in a minute, you know. Zephaniah 2, 1 through 3. Gather together. Yes, gather together, you shameless nation. Some stuff in our nation needs to stop. Some stuff about us needs to stop. Gather before the judgment begins. Perfect idea. Before that terrible day comes, we can gather together and go, hey, we can unpack that terrible day. It doesn't have to be so bloody terrible. But if we put it off till someday, it'll be someday, bloody someday. Gather before judgment begins. Gather before judgment begins. It's a great idea. Before your time to repent is blown away like the chaff. Do it before the... too late. Oh, darn it. Before your time to repent is blown away like chaff, say, act now. Act now. Act now. Today, I choose God and His ways. I don't have to wait till someday. Man, God is... He doesn't have to, because He's Alpha and He's supreme. So He doesn't have to do anything. Who hasn't had to obey Him at some point in time and it was really hard and God somehow didn't bless you because of that act? Harold, not easy. But God wants us blessed. He wants nothing in the way of it and nothing first above Him. He wants to be the supreme focus of our life and what we do. Because if not, it's going to be a someday, bloody someday situation. Because you put off everything He wanted you to do now. For your life now. For your health now. For your relationship now. For someday. It's not good. I choose to do God in His ways now. Act now before the fierce fury of the Lord falls and the terrible day of His anger begins. Say, seek the Lord. There's the answer. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord to me. Just get with Him. Ask Him. Well, I can't hear Him. Take time to sit back, quiet yourself, and give Him a chance to speak. He rarely speaks to me when I'm playing Xbox. Well, maybe that's not true. Maybe He's speaking and I can't hear Him. Why? Because I got to put up a double-double. We're playing San Antonio. 2K. Well, I didn't hear God today. Well, how much time did you sit and ask Him? Where am I not in right priority with you, God? Could you tell me that? That'd be like going to your parents and say, tell me what I need to improve. How many like to do that? But you know they got a list. You're a parent, you got a list. You know, well, you could do this. But our Father, who loves us way more than our earthly parents, wants us to succeed and be fruitful. We got to ask Him the tough questions sometimes because we think we're all that in a bag of chips. You know why? Because I'm not the drug addict I used to be. I'm not the hooligan I used to be. I'm not the thief I used to be. I'm not the murderer I used to be. I'm not. So I'm good. You ever get there? Come on. It's settled in complacency. I'm good. I'm not as bad as Pastor Sharon. I'm good. You know, what up? I'm not as feisty as Ms. Blanche, so come on. I'm way nicer. That's not true. It can't be done. She can't be out nice, so it's not true. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, all you are humble. That's the first place to be. You think you're all that in a bag of chips? He's probably trying to work on your humility. And that's a lesson that he'll keep doing and doing. Why? Because if not, it becomes a priority stealer. Man, humility lessons. Ever have to learn a humility lesson before? They are hard. They are hard. They're harder on the more prideful you are. It's tough, right? Seek the Lord, all who are humble. Seek and follow His commandments. Seek and follow His commandments. Seek to do what is right and to live humbly. Say perhaps. Perhaps, even yet, the Lord will protect you. He's telling them right here in blessed. Zephaniah is going, hear ye, hear ye. And he was a guy that wasn't just this crazy, we think the prophets is out there eating locusts and stuff sticking out of his beard. Those prophets are crazy. No, most of the prophets are well-known men. from great family lines, or at least connectability. You could check their history out, right? So this guy came from a line of kings. Zephaniah is one of the few prophets came from Hezekiah's line of kingship. One of the greatest kingships of all Israel, not David. Hezekiah. Golden rule. This guy had voice, so he used his pulpit to say, hey, I want to say something to the nation of Israel. Everything seems like it's going great. Have you read the news today? No, closing your eyes ain't going to make it go away. How long are we going to sing someday, bloody someday, over our nation? Someday, bloody Sunday, over the things that in our lives. God says, I put a provision in there. If you'll seek me, that I want none of that for you. Actually, I want to put you on a hill and put you as a beacon for the world. And I want you to be my voice and my hands and my feet in the earth. And I want you to love people like I love people. But there's something in the way. What? I'm not first. Something else is. Someone else is. Something else is. He said, I want to talk to my people about it. Why? Because I want to love them and use them, but they are so stubborn. Perhaps even yet the Lord will protect you from his anger on that day of destruction. Let's put a quote up, and then I'm going to have Dr. Heidi join me here in a second. Time takes it all, whether you want it to or not. So what are we going to do with our time? What's the most valuable thing we can do with our time? And I want us to not just seek God first in this season, please. But there are other relationships that need you to say things to them. Oh, I'll do it someday. They'll know how important they were someday. Of course they know. Can't they tell? No. Can you think of someone right now in your life go, I'm not, when I get out of here, I got to tell them something because it's really important. I've been not saying it my whole life and I want them to know how I feel and they're going to know it. Anybody? I hope so. I hope there's somebody in your mind going, I can't wait to call them as soon as church is over and tell them I love them, tell them I forgive them, tell them I miss them, tell them I was so stubborn, please forgive me for being an idiot. Anybody? By the lack of looking at me in my face, I assume that might be you. That's me sometimes, right? Learning to say things. Time will take it all away, whether we want to or not. We've all experienced loss. This room is full of hands with loss. I'm going to have Dr. Heidi come up and bring communion to us. But I want us to do something really important. I want us to set our hearts in a place to go, God, this year is all about you. It's all about you. I'm going to love people when you tell me to if I don't feel like it or not. That means me going to Walmart more in person than going through the drive-thru part. I know. That's a huge... You don't even know the sacrifice that is for me. It's terrible. That means making phone calls maybe to people that I need to make sure they know I love them. And there's people that need to go, hey, I'm sorry. You already told me. I just want to tell you again. Why? Because God's working on me. You never know what that conversation's up. If you call someone and tell them what God needs to work on in them, that doesn't go very well. If you call them and tell them what God's working on you, sometimes that opens the door to everything. You mean God delivered you from a cocaine addiction? Yes, sir. And he don't love me more than you. Trust me. His son died for you just like he did for me. He's not a respecter of persons, it says. He'll love those that will seek him. And if you've been forgiven or you need to forgive, one of those two places, let it start today. Let the harshness of Zephaniah hammer it home today so our some days aren't bloody, right? Because there's a blood that covers a multitude of sins, right? There is a blood that covers a multitude of sins. Dr. Heidi?
Before we come up to grab the elements and take communion together, what a beautiful thing it is to come together and let this be the focus. Let this be the center of attention. But I'm going to ask if we could just draw our attention. I read the Psalms 26. Pastor put it out on Facebook this week to challenge us to read this and I read it this morning in prayer. And I ask that you try to take on really what it's saying, the heart of David and what he's saying. So if you need to close your eyes to pay attention and relieve yourself from all distractions so we can really understand the heart of this. David says, "Declare me innocent, O Lord, for I have acted with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." But I love this. He says, "Put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart. For I am always aware of your unfailing love, and I have lived according to your truth. I do not spend time with liars or go along with hypocrites. I hate the gatherings of those who do evil, and I refuse to join in with the wicked. I wash my hands to declare my innocence, and I come to your altar, O Lord, singing a song of thanksgiving and telling of your wonders. I love your sanctuary, Lord, the place where your glorious presence dwells. Don't let me suffer the fate of sinners. Don't condemn me along with murderers. Their hands are dirty with evil schemes, and they constantly take bribes. But I am not like that. I live with integrity. So redeem me and show me mercy. Now I stand on solid ground, and I will publicly praise the Lord." And so I ask if you would just go ahead and stand and make your way to get your elements, take them back to your seat. And I'm going to ask during this time, as you're going to get your elements, would you pray that prayer? "Put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me. Test my motives in my heart." Please pray that prayer and let God do so. And then we'll take the elements together. It is a very serious thing to actually take the elements, the Eucharist, communion. In 1 Corinthians 11:27, it says, "So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking judgment upon yourself. And that is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in any way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you are really hungry, eat at home so that you won't bring judgment upon yourself when you meet together. I'll give you instruction about other matters after I arrive," is the letter that he sent them. And so I hope you really did take the time to allow God to put you on trial, to cross-examine you. And you know, the judgment won't be upon you if you first repent. So Jesus, I present everything that I need your forgiveness for. And Jesus says, "When I forgive, it is as far as the east is to the west." And so today, God, I thank you for the forgiveness of sins by the blood that you shed, by the body that was broken and beaten. Love drove you to that cross. Because of us here, you saw each one of these precious people, each one of us, you saw in history of time, and you said, "It's for you." For me, we should be in awe, in the reverence of your deep, unending, unconditional love. So Jesus, we thank you. We acknowledge what you've done. I ask that you forgive my sins, God. Cleanse my heart. And if that is your prayer, say amen and take the bread. And then his blood was shed, the perfect Lamb of God. No other lamb needed to be shed after that because he is a Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world. No other sacrifice was to be made because he laid his life down. It was not taken. He laid it down for you. Can you just say, he laid his life down for me? We thank you, Jesus. Take the cup. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just respond to you right now, but that this would be a paradigm shift in our lives, that we would heed, Father God, the voice that loves us more than any other could, that Jesus came. He died, he was resurrected, and he's gone back to the Father to prepare a place for us. There's no greater love than that. And so, Father, I pray that you would position our hearts, that we would submit ourselves to position our hearts, God, in a place where we wake up every morning and say, God, put me on trial, cross-examine my heart, and that we would submit to you, God. That you would be honored and glorified every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen.